Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
And what's your name, sir?
My name is Armando Borges.
Okay, now just hold on one moment. Who's going to... The Honorable Mr. Louis Colonis is going to conduct your hearing, so just hold on to the phone, sir.
Okay. Sir, can you hear me clearly? Yes, I can. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My full name is Armando Zamora Borges, and my DOC number is 031726.
Thank you, sir. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Supremacy for a 31412A hearing to consider regular parole, absolute discharge of home arrest. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. In the room, we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Set on the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me, we have the Honorable David Neal. And my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. I would like to begin this hearing with a summary. Mr. Armando Borges, ABC number 031726, is 64 years old. The crime of child molestation occurred on or about March 16, 1976. He was approximately 21 years old at the time of the instant offense. Is that correct, Mr. Borges?
That is correct.
Thank you. He pled guilty on July 14, 1976, and was sentenced to life imprisonment on August 13, 1976, in addition to a 10-year count for kidnapping and 5 years for aggravated assault, those terms of which have since expired. He appealed his conviction, which was affirmed on April 11, 1977. He also had an earlier 1972 conviction for kidnapping relating to a child sex crime. I will read a summary of the current offense in question, and this is from a summary written by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. In March 1976, Mr. Borges was arrested for kidnapping, child molestation, and aggravated assault and battery. Mr. Borges pulled his car alongside two victims, 4-year-old victim A and 7-year-old victim B, as they walked down the street. He asked them if they would help him find an address, saying that he would give them each $5 as he worked with the Humane Society and was going to pick up some puppies. The girls got into the car, and Mr. Borges drove them to an alley behind the store. Victim B was in the front seat, but victim A was in the back seat with Mr. Borges. He told them to take out their bra, at which point he fondled and kissed victim A's breasts. At one point, he hit victim B in the face for not doing as he said. Victims related that he told them that they would, if they did not cooperate on me. Mr. Borges heard some girls walking near the car, so he returned the girls' clothes. He then dropped off the victims near the home, and that is a summary of the offense. According to Mr. Borges's institutional progress report, he's had modern programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. And I'll ask you about this in a little bit, sir, but it looks like you only had sexual offender pre-treatment. Have you had a regular program, sir?
Yes, I've completed two complete programs.
Were they both pre-treatment or were they, was it pre-treatment and then a full?
I had pre-treatment, which led into the full 2 years.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
He has a relief plan, which includes living with his brother, receiving disability, and seeking behavioral counseling. He's had significant discipline issues from 1976 through 2019, with 4 recent majors for disobeying verbal orders pending finalization. Now, sir, I will stop right now and say that's what we have in Ames, that they're pending finalization. I'm not saying they've been dismissed, and I'm not saying they're finalized. It sounds like that they're still in process. Is that correct?
The disciplinary reports?
Yes, sir.
I was found guilty of the disciplinary reports.
Okay.
The 4 that you just mentioned.
And were they majors or minors, sir?
They were majors.
Okay, thank you. And also, he has an upheld major in 2018 for stalking. This appears to be, because it's such a long list, his 66th hearing before the board. So I'm going to say it's about 66 hearings. He was granted home arrest on May 28, 2015, which was revoked on December 16, 2015 for violation of conditions relating to pornography and social networking websites. And I think it's worth noting with respect to the board, because the board has may have different members over time, but that decision was made within 2 years of him having other majors for stalking. So he has previous letters of support in his parole request packet. We also have a detailed letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated March 7, 2019, which strongly opposes parole. Mr. Borges, this is another opportunity for the board to get to know you. Can you tell us about the offense that resulted in your incarceration and why you think you should be considered for supervised release? Thank you, sir.
So, I've had extensive treatment, counseling, all during the 80s. The Department of Corrections wasn't able to provide sex offense treatment till the 80s. During all of the 70s, there was no treatment or counseling whatsoever for sex offenders. So it wasn't until like the mid-80s that I started actually beginning to receive counseling. Since then, I've completed two programs on sex offense treatment. The most important one was one that was directed by Mr. Stephen Gray. Mr. Stephen Gray now is occupied as a consultant, I think, for civil commitment of sex offenders. And I last saw Mr. Gray was in, right after I was granted home arrest in 2015. He came up to speak to me regarding if I met criteria for civil commitment. And at the end, it was a very extensive interview. At the end of the interview, he stated, due to your age, having completed my program, his sex offense treatment program, and other programs, he goes, I seriously don't think that you will meet criteria for civil commitment. As for the crimes themselves, I was very young. I started committing those crimes when I was 17. And when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, the earliest that I can recollect, I was abused. And as I grew into my teens, the confusion, the pain, mostly the confusion, led me to start taking drugs. And it wasn't just marijuana. I was into some very strong mind altering drugs at that time, like LSD, methamphetamine, and that, coupled with an already impressionable, confused young mind, I started acting out. And during treatment was when I started learning about the crimes themselves, myself, my triggers, what would cause me to act out. And one of my main triggers was drugs, basically. When I was a youngster and committing these crimes, I committed them all the time when I was under the influence of drugs. So when then board member Kirschbaum, Ellen Kirschbaum, when she granted me home arrest, she stipulated that I take the TASC program for urinalysis, which I did. And I during home arrest, I called the TASC program every day, to see if my color code would come up. It came up once, and I went, and I was doing fine. I quit doing drugs in June of 1990. Since June of 1990, I have not participated in drugs whatsoever. While I was on home arrest, I was attending Deer Valley counseling services for my committing crime. But the problem was that my committing crime, as you know, had nothing to do with pornography, nothing. So during my time in prison, when I was attending counseling and treatment, I never addressed the pornography issue because it wasn't something that had ever been a problem for me. However, upon my release on home arrest, I had purchased a laptop, because here in prison I had learned how to do word processing, databases, pretty much clerical work. Well, I purchased a laptop and entered the internet. I didn't know that the internet had pornography of that type, but I entered it. Curiosity led me to enter one of the social network sites, a social network site called farmersonly.com. Purely out of curiosity, I went in there. Lo and behold, there it was, pornography. But it was what they called soft porn. It wasn't real hard pornography. It was soft, what they call soft pornography. Well, I liked it. I'm not gonna beat around the bush. I liked it. It was adult women, and the rest is history. When Pearl Washer came to one of my compliance checks, he checked my laptop, and there it was. But I was doing okay. I was attending my sessions at Deer Valley Counseling groups, but I just got tripped up on that, on the pornography. As far as committing another crime, there's no way I'll ever commit another crime ever again. And while I was out there, I was everywhere. I was in shopping malls. I was at the Social Security office. I was all over the place, and not one trigger ever fired up on me. Not one, not ever. But like I say, my triggers are drugs. That's why I'm deathly afraid of them, and I'll never ever go near them again.
Well, Mr. Borges, if I may interrupt, and I'm not going to stop you from completing what you want to share, I do want to commend you for staying clean from drugs for the last, I guess, 29 years. About 29 years?
Since June of 1990, I'm quite proud of myself, yeah.
And I also want to point out a couple of things. I mentioned something earlier, and I'm not sure if I was clear on this. I certainly wasn't undermining the board's decision in the past. All I was making reference to is that the board has been lenient in the past. And
I quite understand.
The other thing is that I hear what you're saying about the drug triggers, and I'm glad you're very conscious of that, but this is not to say, but this is not to say that we do not see people succeed in the community with histories of pedophilia or an attraction to underage children. We see people go through corrective treatment and move on with their lives. My concern is that your behavior inside the Department of Corrections was questionable before receiving an opportunity to return to the community. You did have issues adhering to the conditions of community supervision, and you've had discipline issues inside the Department of Corrections since. So there's other issues in play right now. It's not just the offense in and of itself, but a totality. So talk to me about your behavior inside the DOC. I think you just told us that your majors were upheld, and you had stopped in 2018, which is fairly recent. So
yes.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, let's speak about the stocking first. In 2015, when I was granted home arrest, Mrs. Ellen Kirschbaum spoke to me at length about that, about my behavior, my inappropriate behavior towards female staff while in prison. That hearing was actually done in person. The board had actually come to the prison site and saw me in person. And we spoke at length about that. And the end result, to make a long story short, is the end result is that my motive, my drive, for lack of a better term, for having conducted that inappropriate behavior was not prompted by any type of sexual desire. First, that's right off the top. That is not what motivated me. What motivated me was the want or the need to develop a relationship. Referring to this recent ticket, disciplinary report in 2018 of the stalking, the reporting officer, the female officer, and I had been speaking to each other for like, I don't know, 7-8 months before I became infatuated and wrote her a letter, an inappropriate letter. And in the letter, there again, as with all of the disciplinary reports I've received of that nature, I've never ever once mentioned anything of a sexual nature or behaved in any, or was my demeanor was never in a sexual nature. It was always overly friendly and wanting to develop a relationship. Having said that, let me expound on that a little bit more. During one of my counseling programs that was directed by the man I just mentioned, Mr. Stephen Gray, I was given two tests during that program, that sex offense treatment program. One was a polygraph test, and the other one was a plethysmograph test. A plethysmograph test operates much like a polygraph in that it senses or detects when the individual is becoming sexually aroused to visual stimuli. In my case, slides of different photos of all kinds of, from young children to adult women, to you name it, they show it on those slides. And my plethysmograph test showed that I am predominantly attracted to adult women in lingerie, thus the soft porn that I was looking at while I was on home arrest. I have no sexual desires or attraction towards children, none whatsoever. On the plethysmogram, I flatlined whenever slides of children would come up. Now, what I've learned in counseling, in group counseling, is that the pedophiles that are the most difficult to treat or to prevent from reoffending are those pedophiles that are actually drawn to young children in a sexual manner. I was not. Mine was a lot more complicated than that, far more.
Okay, sir. Again, I do need to point out that we need to manage time here. We certainly are giving you time to be very, very articulate. I want to take this time right now to see if I have any questions from fellow board members. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. And Mr. Borkus, I want to hold for 1 second. Actually, Mr. Westby, if you will, because I don't want to leave my role here. I don't know if Victim Services had people that needed to...
I'll go find out.
Yes, no. Okay, so I just want to make sure. So make sure we have any names or anything. But
we have to know that they are not.
Okay, we do. Just wanted to make sure. And all that was about is there were some people who came to the hearing room, but I wasn't sure if it was related to this hearing. So I wanted to give a fair opportunity.
Mr. Gagnonis,
yes.
I do have a question.
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Borkus, I received a letter from you dated September 5th of 2018. that's addressed to me. And did you, at that time, did you just write to me, or did you write to all the board members?
It was addressed to you, but from the entire board, of course.
Okay, and was there any, I was just curious, that's why I'm asking. Why would you address it to me? I'm just curious, because I'm the only female on the board, or why?
No, in times past, I've also addressed it to Mr. C.T. Wayne.
Okay. Okay, you just happened to choose me this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and did the other board members get a copy?
Yes, I got one that was addressed to me,
that was
from 2018.
But you didn't get the one addressed to me?
No, I meant, I also received a letter that said, has my name on it, I saw yours as well.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, sir. Just curious.
And let me take this time to acknowledge that Mr. Borges did write some very detailed letters explaining his position. Mm-hmm. They're very articulate letters. And that certainly helps us understand the case better. Any other questions from fellow board members? Okay, Mr. Borges, we're getting close to the end of your hearing, and as I stated, it wasn't my intention to cut you off, but you've read quite a bit, you already wrote quite a bit. So, in closing, is there anything else that you want to share with the board? We ask that you repeat anything that you already told us. You sent us a detailed statement. You've shared a lot today about your triggers. But is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Before the board goes into
Let me just, okay, just very quickly. The four disciplinary reports that I received very recently, for disobeying direct orders, I'm not of the nature, I'm not of the type to disobey direct orders. However, since I've been here in the Lewis complex, I've been assaulted by other inmates because I am a sex offender. In 2014, I was assaulted so badly that I was sent to a hospital for 5-hour surgery, which is why I'm now in a wheelchair. Just recently in January, I was assaulted again, because of my committing offense. Those disobeying direct orders are because I refuse to house where my life is being threatened. I'm in the process of trying to be moved to the sex offender units. Whether that'll happen or not, I don't know, but this Lewis complex is predominantly non-sex offender units, and those of us that are, the very, very few of us that are here for sex offenses have a very difficult time. Two sex offenders have already been murdered in this complex, and that is why I received those two disciplinary reports for refusing to house, because I was placed in areas where my life was threatened. And that's what I wish to say about those four disciplinary reports.
Thank you, Mr. Borges. Before we go into discussion, I do want to point out that I think that you're very articulate. I think you described your situation and your worldview quite well. And the board will be going into discussion. It may sound like that we're speaking to you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. As I stated earlier in the hearing, you've been through quite a few, or you've been before the board many times, so I'm sure you're familiar with the process. So if you will just remain on the phone, you can listen to the discussion, and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I think Mr. Borges is a very fine communicator, and he did explain quite a bit about his experience dating back to the original offense and experiences inside the Department of Corrections as well as home arrest. I do recognize, in a context, what he means. Violations relating to adult pornography, or social networking or chat rooms. For me, the issue is that they are violations of his conditions regardless, not unlike living in a world where alcohol is legal and quite available, but the conditions may be you can't drink alcohol, it's a condition, don't violate, or you can't drive a vehicle, or a wide variety of issues that may otherwise be legal. But there are sensitive issues when dealing with individuals who've been convicted for sex crimes, and a bit of a red flag. This is not to say that I am accusing Mr. Borges of any crime. All I'm saying is it's a bit of a warning. A greater concern is the discipline inside the Department of Corrections, both before his last release and since. So to start the discussion, I will simply say that based on his history of sex crimes, the traumatizing nature of the incident offenses on two young children, and I know this is dating back now, but I was really disturbed by the violence, of hitting a child. His failure to adhere to home arrest conditions in 2015, his very recent discipline inside the Department of Corrections with four majors, have serious concerns as to whether, at this time anyways, Mr. Borges is capable of complying with supervised release, but that's where I'll begin with the discussion. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. Give me 1 second. That is regarding Mr. Armando Borges, ADC number 031726. My motion is to deny regular parole absolute discharge or home arrest. And based on the air defense, we have no mechanism for a one-year set-off, so he will be certified as eligible within the six-month window, and that is my motion.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gilbert-House, agreed on by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal, again, based on the year of defense. We're not asking for one year set off, we don't have that capacity. Release time denied is, again, regular form, absolute discharge or home arrest. Reasons for denial are as follows, and that is serious violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, aid to the victim, multiple victims, violated previous probation, violated previous parole of this home arrest. Prior criminal history, repeat offender, no family or community support, recent, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infractions, anything else, no rules. Okay, Mr. Borges, the board has voted unanimously to deny regular parole absolute discharge or home arrest, and we state our reasons. Do you have any questions before we bring this hearing to a close?
It's to my understanding that the board does not designate my next hearing. It's up to the DOC, I believe, right?
Yes. Yes. You'll be certified for another hearing based on your defense. In approximately 6 months.
Okay, and I can purchase a recording of this hearing?
Yes, I don't know the exact purchasing process, but if you can work with your CO3 to call the board, you can have a copy of this hearing, most definitely.
Thank you much.
All right, well, thank you for being so pleasant with the board today, Mr. Borges. We have to make some tough decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona.
We stay safe.
I understand.
Thank you, sir.